For WXXI, this is Connections. Filling in for Evan Dawson, I'm Gino Finelli. Today's Connection is taking place just a couple blocks away from the Connection studio here on State Street. There, the Genesee River culminates in a 96-foot drop known as Upper Falls and lends its name to the neighborhood, High Falls. Under a new plan, both from the city and state level, High Falls will serve as the centerpiece for a new sort of development district, state park, and other amenities that are planned to revitalize the neighborhood. This year's state budget, Governor Kathy Hochul dedicated $6 million to turning the woods and gorge beneath High Falls into a 40-acre state park. Meanwhile, the city of Rochester plans to put aside $2.5 million to renovate the Waterworks building to create a new tourism center and vertical access to the gorge. Those dollars are matched by state grants. So to talk about the future of High Falls and what we can expect in years to come, today I'm joined by Vinny Esposito, Finger Lakes Regional Director for Empire State Development. Vinny, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Rich Perrin, the Commissioner of the City's Department of Environmental Services, which oversees many of the projects related to High Falls.
Good to be here. Thanks, Gino.
Thanks for being here, Rich. And Howard Decker, an architect and board member of Greentopia, the environmental advocacy organization, which has advocated for a so-called eco-district in High Falls. Howard, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Gino. It's good to be with you.
So to start here, I want to take a general overview of what we see as the future for High Falls, both at the state level, the city level, and for the people that have long rallied for change in the neighborhood. So, Vinny, I wanted to start with you. From the state level, what do you see as the future of development in High Falls and what we can expect as Rochesterians in years to come?
Thanks, Gino. I think it's really important to note that what's happening now is the culmination, to use your word, of a lot of work from a lot of people, whether it's groups like Greentopia or residents in this community that have had vision for what the High Falls area could be for a long time. And for the last several years, the state and city have been working in direct partnership through the Rock the Riverway Initiative to revitalize downtown's waterfront for all of the public spaces that have it, that it has, and that have been underutilized. So now we're specifically getting to High Falls in a manner that's really exciting as the next phase, really, of what Rock the Riverway is intended to do. And obviously, I give a lot of credit to Kathy Hochul, Governor, and our New York State Parks Department for recognizing that the gorge, the space around High Falls, is something that is perfect for a unique urban park that will preserve and protect and allow public access into this unique space in Rochester's history for a long time to come. So that's the sort of vision of what we're working for, working through, and there's a lot of components to that, a lot of complication to that, but we're really happy to be here to talk about it today.
And Rich, from the city side of things, what do you see as the potential for investment into High Falls?
Well, I think the investment part is going to follow, the private investment will follow the investment that the governor has made possible, and thanks to a lot of effort by Vinny and others, including Greentopia, it's great. I think it's important to remember that, you know, parks really have sort of an ever-changing role in public life. I mean, Boston Common was the first public city park in 1634, and as we moved into sort of the Olmsted phase of these pleasure parks, and then they became to become more active as we moved into 1900 and into the 20th century. So it was really sort of interesting to see how this happens, but this is really complementary to a lot of what we want in the city, to be able to offer those opportunities. And quite frankly, as the mayor always points out, we're the only major city with a lake, a river, and High Falls. So this is something that won't make the High Falls ancillary or a secondary part of it. It's going to be focusing on this unique natural asset that we have right in the middle of our downtown. So it's incredibly exciting, but it wouldn't be happening without our partners at the state. So when we look at it, we understand that we have a role to play in this, and some of the projects you mentioned are going to be absolutely critical so that we're not having a one-off, but we're actually creating this overall district and bringing High Falls up to what it can be.
Howard, Greentopia has long called for an eco-district in High Falls. There's plans that they had written up about what the potential envisioning of what that would look like would be. But for people that might not be familiar with the term, could you explain a little bit about what an eco-district is and what you envision taking place in High Falls?
Sure, I'd love to, Gino. But first, I want to acknowledge that Greentopia imagined returning the river and especially the High Falls to a central position in the city's life about 15 years ago. And Greentopia has been working for a long time and very hard to help people understand that the area around the High Falls is absolutely fundamental to the history and life of our city. So we're thrilled that the governor has seen to support that idea and to help us to create a wonderful place in the middle of our city that returns the river and the falls to the life that it should, to the role that it should play in our life. An eco district. Well, now let's see. We have managed to achieve an eco district, the first eco district in the state of New York, in the area around High Falls. And the idea of an eco district is that it's a place where people can come and learn about resiliency. They can learn about sustainability. They can learn about how our natural world can help us to create a sustainable urban life. And we have an eco-district plan. We've been working on it for some time. We have eco-district partners, and we're looking forward to, as the state park takes shape, we're looking forward to the eco-district being a central part of that, of the life of that state park.
So last month, for the April issue of City, I wrote a pretty in-depth feature story on the history of High Falls and the plans that the city and state have. I was actually just reading through our feedback for that issue, for our May issue, and a lot of criticism that I'm seeing is that, well, we've tried this before. We've tried to revitalize High Falls. In the 1990s and early 2000s, under Mayor Bill Johnson, there was an attempt to turn High Falls into a nightclub district. Longtime Rochesterians might remember places like Tiki Bob's or Empire Brewing Company, which opened an ancillary place in High Falls. Pretty much all of those plans ultimately shuttered. And by the late 2000s, none of the original businesses, to my knowledge, were still operating in High Falls. But from talking with the city and state, this seems to be different, or there seemed to be a different approach to providing revitalization to this neighborhood. So, Rich, I wanted to ask you, what is different about this project? What do you think the opportunity is here in the way it's being approached that wasn't done back in the 1990s?
Well, I would say, Gino, you know, urban planning is not an exact science. As somebody who has a master's degree in it, I can tell you that, you know, there we go through our phases where we try different things. And I think the attempt at in the 1990s, it didn't work. Why that happened, I don't know. I wasn't part of that administration. What I would say is that we are looking at it as the High Falls are going to be the centerpiece, and the river is going to be the centerpiece of this. Before, it was sort of like, well, this is here. It would make for a good place for certain types of development. And to some degree, creating an entertainment district had been successful in other places. As we spoke for your article on the Rochester Waterworks building, I was very clear. Everything we do at the city has to be unique to the city of Rochester, its assets, its opportunities, recognizing its challenges. So when we talk about place making, we're not talking about place copying and saying, well, somebody did this, because we really can't copy this. There's no playbook for it, because there's no other city that has, major city that has a waterfall like this to be able to take advantage of. And when we start talking about this, the location of the state park, there's that area was formerly used for something else. And so there's going to be a whole series, and I'm looking at Vinny, there's going to be a whole series of activities that are going to be undertaken to make sure that this is a comprehensive, collaborative approach to how we put this together from not just individual projects that we jam together, but how we work on these things so that they're complementary and supplementary to each other. And so when we look at the city-owned the city-led projects, we're in close coordination with Empire State Development. Vinny's been wonderful to work with on a number of items. But when he brought in New York State Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation, and we got state parks involved, we're having regular dialogue now. It's scheduled. It's not like, oh, can we get together at this time? No, we have a regular meeting. We talk through it. There's a lot of people on that call. I'm not sure how Vinny facilitates it just on the phone, but he somehow manages to get us going on next steps every time. And I think that's really the difference, is that the falls will be the emphasis. It will be this coordinated, comprehensive approach to all the assets in the area. And let's not forget that it's only one of three areas in the Rock the Riverway initiative, including not only High Falls, but downtown in the South River corridor. So there's a lot of great stuff that's going to be happening in the city of Rochester over the next several years. And it's a result of good partnerships and, I think, a commitment at all levels at the city and the state to come together and get this stuff done.
I want to continue on this track, but I think we can take our first call of the hour. We have Frank from Greece on the line.
Frank, yes, hello.
Thanks for being here, Frank.
Hello, I'd like to know, how are you going to incorporate the Six Nations, the Seneca people, in your plans?
Well, that's a good question. This is Vinny from the state. I'm not sure that's been decided yet. There's a lot of components to the park where we're hoping and are right now actively soliciting ideas from the public. But I know for sure, when I talk about this being a unique urban park, it's not that we don't have urban parks, but I think this is singularly unique, as Howard alluded to the fact that this is the sort of origin of Rochester's history. And it's our history before it was Rochester. And so one of the main components we want to factor in here is the historical aspect of how this part of the world developed and how this city was developed. So I think there's plenty of room and opportunity to recognize the contributions of all the people that helped make this part of the world a special place that we call home. And I think it's a terrific suggestion that I'll take back. But I do want to pivot, Gino, real quick to one other thing on Rich's last answer about the difference and why this is hopefully going to be successful this time. And that is twofold. One, there is a comprehensive plan related to the entirety of the waterfront in the city of Rochester. But more importantly, I think what's unique here and different is that we're focusing on the public spaces. We're not trying to focus on some particular use and bring in private operators. We're trying to improve the public amenities that attract people, that connect people to neighborhoods and to the waterway trails. And then that will leverage and bring along its other uses and its other benefits to the city, just like we've already seen with the announcement that Constellation Brands is moving its world headquarters to the former Aqueduct building, in large part because of the commitment the state and the city have made to improving the waterfront as a place that they want to be and they want their future workers to come. So I just think the focus on the public spaces, whether it be the state park or all the other aspects of what we're fixing up along the riverfront, is what's making this unique and different and why it will be successful.
Yeah, I just wanted to jump in on that too, Gino, real quick and make mention of something else too, which is let's not forget that, the Genesee Brewery undertook a nearly $50 million renovation that started this, and now they have the brew house. So there's a lot that's different from the 1990s. We have MCC with a campus downtown. You see housing along State Street. So there's a lot of factors, as Vinny mentioned. The most important part is that these parks aren't just parks for park's sake. They're for people. They're for people to use, to recreate, to enjoy. So that's really the key. Is there's a lot. There's already been some development, and of course all of that will be considered as we begin to build on that as part of the development of the parks, the waterworks building that will serve as a visitor center, and again serve as a visitor center. It was shuttered in January of 2019, and we're looking at building that out so that we can do some different programming and have some different space there that people will use. And that's all being part of the design that we're beginning our procurement for a consultant to look at the preliminary design and the State Environmental Quality Review Act process, probably this summer through the end of the year. So there's a lot happening, but Vinny makes the best point, which is we've got to do what works for people and make it attractive for them to come down here, and then the business will follow.
We're gonna take another call, but Howard, it sounds like you wanted to add something here. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to make sure that your caller understood that one of the centerpieces of the plan is a visitor center. And the visitor center is the place where the story of the role the High Falls has played in the life of our city can unfold. And that story goes way back. I mean, we acknowledge that Ebenezer Indian Allen did the first mill at High Falls in the 1780s, but the Native American population was here for far longer, and that story will unfold. We hope and we're looking forward to seeing that happen in the new visitor center, which will be one of the centerpieces of the new state park.
All right, we're going to take a call. We have Brett from Mendon. Brett, you're on Connections.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Rochester is in the news every day for us. Sadly, a lot of violence and a lot of shooting. And I'm trying to get my head wrapped around the rationale of building a $5 million park in the middle of a very violent city with a lot of crime. Could you help me understand that?
Yeah, I'll say a couple things to start. First of all, this will be a far more expensive park than $5 million. The $5 million Gino alluded to is just the renovation and upgrade of the waterworks building for a visitor center above the gorge. The improvements to the gorge level and the entirety of the 40-plus acre state park will be considerably more than that. There's not a price tag set to it. I think it's, first of all, unfair to characterize Rochester as a violent city. Of course, there is too much violence. Any violence is too much in our city. But that is all the more reason to create public spaces that welcome people and provide safe opportunities for them to congregate in constructive ways. And that's what we want to do with the entirety of the Rock the Riverway plan, with all of the public spaces we're improving, to recognize that any successful city revitalization has been really stemmed by waterfront revitalization as a place where people can congregate, can enjoy the waterfront, and we have a very unique one. And that's what we're trying to do. We have had the gorge at High Falls that's been inaccessible to the public for well over 100 years because of the, you know, industrial uses that have been going on there. We think it's an incredible value add to the city, to the opportunities for its residents to preserve that space, protect it, clean it up from the contamination that exists there, which is a big piece of this whole project, and make it accessible as a place where we can celebrate our history, recreate, and otherwise enjoy the incredible natural assets that we have. It's all part of the urban revitalization plan that all of us are working on throughout this community.
Yeah, I would add, too, that, you know, in the under Mayor Evans, too, we've put a real emphasis on violence prevention, intervention, and suppression. So we need to do more things, but I would consider this part of the prevention part. Anything we can do to create jobs, and the mayor says this regularly, if you have a job, you're not out screwing around. That's the reality of it, and that's what we need to do. So we can do multiple things at a time. The proposed budget also includes additional funding for recruiting classes for the Rochester Police Department, and I think you're seeing a very solid relationship between the Evans administration with Victor Saunders as a special advisor on violence prevention, and we have a lot. That's our emphasis. I also think I would echo Vinny's comments that nearly 100% of the shootings in Rochester happen on 11% of the streets. So anything we can do that creates public space where people are at goes back to the old Jane Jacobs idea of urban planning, which is eyes on the street. When you have eyes on the street, you're going to have less crime. And in this case, it's going to be a park. That's always taken into account with any park is what are you doing in terms of patrol? What are you doing in terms of ensuring that it is a place for positive interaction, whether it's open or not? And if it's not open, then people shouldn't be there. And that'll be part of the design that comes with it.
Howard, do you have any thoughts on the issue of violence in the High Falls neighborhood as this project goes forward?
I wanted to echo what Rich was saying because last night I had the good fortune to sit and listen to the mayor talk about some of these issues in a teleconference that he conducted. And I do agree with him that, and with Rich and others, that if we have employment, then we have less violence. And economic revitalization, as Vinny has said, is all about creating a better city, a more vital city, and that means more jobs for everybody, and more jobs means less violence. So the state park has the possibility of enhancing employment in the city, and I think that makes it extraordinarily valuable. The other thing that happens, too, is that when Rochesterians feel an enhanced sense of loyalty to our city and an enhanced sense of ownership in our city and the story of our city, then I think likewise we have that pride transfers itself into a better sense of how the city works, and I think probably more ownership equals less violence.
So I wanted to ask, too, a lot of the development we're talking about here is around nature. It's around a state park. It's around access to the natural amenities that we have here. But in the long term, this is about economic revitalization. This is about rebuilding a neighborhood into a place that is bustling, so to speak. Right now, I work in High Falls. It's hard to get a cup of coffee, is what I'm saying. There's not much in the way of actual foot traffic and business here. In the long term, how do you see this project in the state park and all of the initiatives that are happening around the actual natural amenities of this area translating to the kind of investment into the neighborhood itself? We could start with you,
Vinny. I'll take that. That's primarily the role that the Regional Council and Empire State Development are playing in this process because that is our goal. Although I will say a new park in a place as special as High Falls unto itself is a goal. Right, you know, it will be a special thing that this public will cherish for a long time, and so whether or not it leads to economic development is secondary. But it will do that. You know, we have seen the state has invested now. We've opened 3 urban state parks in the last several years, and we have seen in all of them, as well as with some of the city parks that have opened as well, that they've led to economic revitalization around them. We anticipate that will happen here, that will have an improvement effect to the ability to get a cup of coffee, as you say, in the High Falls District. Because what we know is despite the fact that we have seen great momentum in continuing to transform the city of Rochester with the amount of investments that are happening both on the public and on the private side with the revitalization and adaptive reuse of a lot of buildings. We still haven't seen the street level vitality that we all want to see. The retail, the people walking around, the sense of safety and comfort and exhilaration that come from being in a vibrant city. We're doing a lot of other things beyond this state park as part of Rock the Riverway and as part of our downtown revitalization initiative to address those things. We have formed a brand new partnership called the Rochester Downtown Partnership so that the city, county, state governments can work directly with the private sector to form a new business improvement district. And we've even allocated some state resources to begin that work, to begin to promote and program the public spaces we're improving. You may have seen a couple weeks ago the announcement of a whole slew of new public free events downtown that are coming this summer and this fall. It's all part of the same effort, the same comprehensive strategy to revitalize our downtown. Not that it's the only neighborhood in the city of Rochester, but that it's such an important part to our entire region and our entire economic success. So, you know, this is just one piece of that. We believe, because we know, the revitalization of waterfront amenities lead to economic and community development. And so that's what we've been leading with Rock the Riverway. And we think this is a big, big piece of that.
Rich, anything you want to add to that?
I think Vinny hit it right there. It is a goal in and of itself, which is important, but it also will drive business. And we're looking at, you know, again, not just for downtown, not just for area, but all of our neighborhoods, ensuring that we're creating a prosperous, safe, and equitable city. So we need to look at every neighborhood as it has its own unique characteristics. This is one where, obviously, this is an amenity when we're talking about the Riverway and the High Falls that serves all of the city and beyond, the county and the larger region. There's a reason we're referred to as the Genesee Finger Lakes region. These are our natural assets that, as both Howard and the caller earlier from Greece noted, was here long before us and has a very celebrated history and has a history that we need to face front and center about, you know, the things that went well and didn't. So the interpretive elements of what we want to look at the visitor center will be determined. But the main part is that we're going forward and we're making for a better city.
Howard, I want to get your thoughts on that, too. Do you see some of these investments into environment and an eco district that could translate into more private investment into the neighborhood itself?
Absolutely. There's no question that that's the case. First of all, if you can just for a moment imagine the kind of businesses that could benefit from a new level of sustainability and resilience in an eco district, a new rethinking about how power comes to us and how we manage it and how we use it, I think that this is something that the eco district could teach, and I think it has the possibility of generating lots of opportunities for business in the overall state park area. The other thing I think that's true is that the state park will give us an opportunity to emphasize local business, that we can do this incrementally, we can do it step by step, and we can especially encourage and empower the smaller and local businesses that will make the entire area much more alive and much more valuable to the larger city. So there's no question that this has the power to be a great economic engine for the overall city. You may not be able to get the right kind of coffee yet, Gino, but everybody is present. The audience is present. Now what we have to do is find a way to put the show on properly for the audience, and I think the state park is a great step in that direction.
Yeah, and as we've seen, I think the Genesee Brew House is an example that businesses can be very successful here if they hit the right tone and they hit the right market for it. I mean, the Genesee Brew House was open at a time when the Genesee Brewery itself was in a bit of jeopardy and has been a wildly popular attraction and probably one of the most Instagrammed spots in the city of Rochester. So
yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad Rich brought that up. You know, Greentopia and the brewery both deserve a lot of credit for setting all of this in motion. The whole Rock the Riverway idea, of course, along with the city's vision and the partnership of the state and Governor Hochul. But that is the basis of recognizing that this is possible, that this vision is real, and that's why we're working to make it happen.
And I think that the success of the Genesee Breweries, their place there is wildly exceeded their expectations, and it's a sign, a signal that the river and the High Falls can and should play a larger role in the life of the city.
So as we're looking forward, we're talking about plans for the future, And I think there might be a lot of people listening that are thinking, well, how long are we talking here? So from both you, Rich, and Vinny, I'd like to get an idea of how long in the future are we talking before all of these things are up and running?
Yeah. So let's be very clear. The state park, in all of its glory, won't be open for 4 to 5 years at best. But what this, that's why I started off by saying this conversation. This is a piece of the larger plan with Rock the Riverway. So what you're seeing is dozens of public improvements, projects, coming online, started a few years ago, and there's been a steady drumbeat now to make improvements so people can access the waterfront in a more proactive, positive way, whether it be the skate park, which has been so wildly successful that we're already in plans to design a second phase, taking down the river wall, the flood wall in Cornhill, which is going to be opening soon to give people an opportunity to interact with the river in a way they haven't before, improvements to the library, improvements to the convention center, improvements right behind the brewer house to the trail that connects it to High Falls. Those are all things that are happening now that will be, every one of those things I mentioned will be done by this fall. So these are examples of waterfront improvements that are not the state park per se. The state park will be focused in the gorge, which will take many years to open specifically because the previous uses have led to contamination that need to be cleaned up before the public can get down there. So I want to give full credit to RG&E. They've been a wonderful, terrific, constructive partner in this entire process. They've done incredible work to remediate those lands already, taking down old facilities that aren't utilized, and they've spent a lot of money to do so, and they'll spend a lot more to clean up what was occurring there previously. But they're working with us to recognize that the best possible use going forward is for this to be a public park that will be preserved, protected, and open to the public. So this process will be several years to clean up those lands, to make the capital improvements with the State Parks Department that will make those amenities that people all expect and want to see in something that is a, you know, high quality as a state park. But the entirety of the Rock the Riverway plan is intended to be ongoing. It's intended to be long-term. It's intended to look 5, 10, 15, 20 years into the future as to how we improve, how people connect with the Genesee River, and all of the good that leads from that.
Yeah, I'll jump in and I'll say, you know, Vinny mentioned the brewery line trail in High Falls Terrace Park, which we did the groundbreaking on, is under construction right now. In addition, we just earlier this week, Mayor Evans did the groundbreaking for the Erie Harbor enhancements phase two. So there's a lot going on there. But just in this area beyond the brewery line trail and the High Falls Terrace Park, we also have things that we're doing over at Brown's Race. You know, so that's almost $2 million. We have the Pontarren Bridge where we're finalizing design there. And that's going to, you know, that's going to include cantilevered overlooks, public art, selfie stations, shade structures, deck replacement, and a refurbished railing. So there's a lot that's already underway. I mentioned the waterworks building. You know, we're just getting started on that. But like the state park, we're trying to make sure that we're phasing these things, do them as quickly as possible. But I really do think that we're probably looking, as Vinny said, a minimum of 5 years, probably a little further until everything's online. But that's what it takes to go through it and make sure you do it right. And there's a lot that goes into this, not the least of which, and I always like to say this, we don't do things to people, and we don't do them for them, because that line starts to blur. We do things with them. So the amount of community engagement that you're going to see is really going to be unparalleled on all of the Rock the Riverway projects, and it's going to be a hallmark of the Evans administration, which is asking people what they think. And again, I'm here from the Department of Environmental Services, but our Neighborhood and Business Development Department, our Communications Department, and their special events, Vinny mentioned all the events that are going on, they do a phenomenal job. And then we also have our Department of Recreation and Human Services, which will play a part in the programming of a lot of these things. So it is not just a collaborative partnership between different levels of government. It's a collaborative partnership within those levels of government, as evidenced by Empire State Development Corporation and New York State Parks as well.
And we haven't even mentioned the two biggest projects that are happening, the Interloop North Transformation and the Aqueduct Reimagined Project, which are just two examples. When I say people, we are recreating Rochester, we are literally recreating Rochester, and we're doing this for the long term, recognizing that there's a whole new generation of opportunity that exists, and these spaces are going to be a big part of it. We're designing them for public use and for public interest, and it's incredibly exciting.
I think we're going to take another.
Think,
oh, sorry, Howard, go ahead.
Real quick, Gino, I just want to note that at Greentopia, we want to invite Rochesterians and everyone from around the state of New York and around the country to come and visit High Falls now. It may be some years before the state park is open, but Rich and the city of Rochester are busily doing High Falls Terrace at Falls Fields, which, by the way, used to be a baseball stadium back in the old days, a baseball field. And everyone can come now. They can walk across the Punta de Ren. They can see the falls. They can participate in the life of the river as it passes through the city and watch things as they begin to unfold. We want people to feel as if this is happening for their benefit. And step by step, though it may take some time, the high falls and the river will come to a new life for the city. So come on down and let's enjoy the river and the high falls.
I feel like saying amen every time Howard talks.
So thanks, guys.
We got a few calls coming in. We're going to take Gloria from Canandaigua.
Hi.
Hi, Gloria.
I want to say that I really think this is wonderful what you're doing. When certain things were started a while ago, I sent a donation to help out. You know, having it be like the bridge with flowers and all that, which was great. But I think the most important thing is that it is so important to acknowledge the people, the Native Americans who were here before, how they treated the land, how they treated the water. We need to learn from them.
Thank you, Gloria. That's a wonderful suggestion, and it's one that I will personally make sure is considered as we begin to do all of the design. Because I want to emphasize, too, we really are looking for input. You know, there is a conceptual site plan for the new park that's online now that you can look at, and then you can submit comment as we are now, just now, hiring the design consultant. The State Parks Department has the RFP out, so that person, that firm, isn't even on board yet. So we are very much in the preliminary stages of what will be in the state park and what it'll be used for, what it will celebrate, what it'll recognize.
All right, we're going to take another call. We have Robert from Fairport.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I seem to remember at High Falls there was a visitor center there when they had the Christmas time event, and they had some history about the area and something, and in the front of the building they had, you know, water that was flowing and stuff like that. I'm kind of wondering, A, what happened to that, you know, if a visitor center was the key to turning this thing around. It didn't seem to do anything. And I'm also curious how much government money went into Park Avenue and Alexander Street to kind of make that into a tourist haven, because it just feels like this whole effort is, let's throw a bunch of government money around. These things happen organically to some degree, and they have happened organically in Park Ave and other areas. And I just don't see, I don't see this happening. You know, you're talking about $500 million in this thing all told.
Yeah. So Robert, I'll jump in on that one. I don't have specifics on Park and Alexander and what that took, but your point is an excellent one, and that's that the investments we make need to set the stage for private investment. Okay. So these are all investments. This isn't spending; it's investment. But you're absolutely 100% right, and I think that was part of the issue with the attempt at High Falls back in the late 90s and early 2000s was the market does well for itself. Picking winners and losers is not always a great idea. In fact, more often than not, it's not a good idea at all. So when we make these types of investments, what we're trying to do is set the stage for that private investment and then let it come to us, and make sure that we're not getting in the way or impeding it. That's not enough to just not be in the way and not impeding it. You really have to set that stage. And a park like this is exactly that. I think when you look at all the investments that we're doing around there, it's all about bringing people there. When you bring people there, you know, and you do those types of activities and the infrastructure that's necessary to get people there, then the businesses follow. And I think that's a primary concept behind economic development, is you're trying to set the stage and let the market work the way it does.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'll answer a couple things specifically to the call. First of all, the $500 million number you cite, that's the entirety of the full vision of the Rock the Riverway plan if implemented. We are by no means suggesting that the state park will be that much. The visitor center is still there. So that's the focus of Gino's story last week, if you didn't read it in City News, and the plans that the city and state have done to preserve that building, to make sure it remains in public hands, and to have it be a more integral piece to a larger design plan for the state park. So not be a destination unto itself like you previously experienced, which was pretty dated, but to recognize that building, which is historic in its own right, the former Waterworks building, can be a trailhead, so to speak, for the new state park, can have everything from public bathrooms to elevator access to the gorge. It could be part of the story and not the destination. But the other thing I think I really want to emphasize again is that these are investments into public assets that will then draw in the private investment. And even though you and I didn't see what necessarily the government did to make Park Ave so wonderful, if you go back several generations, that's when those investments were made. The parks that are there, the tree plantings that are there, the streetway designs that were made at that time made it conducive to the type of activity people have enjoyed now for a while, for the last several decades in our sort of modern state of living in the city. It's our intention to make these other Riverway neighborhoods and the neighborhoods that are connected to them to have that same kind of opportunity long term for future generations in Rochester.
Yeah, and I would just jump back in on the Waterworks building. It is a historic structure. I believe it was built in 1843. It's been there. We City Council approved the legislation in April to fund design for all three phases as well as the construction of the first phase. And that first phase involves the renovation of the Waterworks space that would include the new visitor center, public restrooms, as Vinny mentioned, and accessible multi-use community space. That's what we're looking at right now. So again, we want this to be the public's building. We want them to come down, and ideally, that again is setting the stage for that private investment. Phase two would be us looking sort of for the strategic opportunities to utilize the base of the River Gorge as a public open space, and that would be in partnership with New York State. And then phase three would be to create the vertical public access to and from the base of the gorge. So there's a lot that's going to go into that, and this is that first part, though, of getting people there and having that type of interpretive element so that people can start to understand the area, and that goes back to the indigenous peoples who were here long before us, before we settled this.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take our only break of the hour, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation about High Falls and take some more callers.
Coming up in our second hour, Gino hosts a conversation about the state of the craft beer industry in Rochester. It's been a tumultuous time during the pandemic. He sits down to talk about the state of the craft beer scene, how new businesses are doing, who's hanging in there, and what's good these days. We'd love to hear from you on craft beer as well next hour.
All right, we're back on Connections. We're talking about High Falls and the plans to develop the neighborhood into a new nature center, so to speak, with a state park at the centerpiece of it and a visitor center at the Waterworks building giving access to the gorge beneath. We have quite a few callers coming in. We're going to take Mike from Penfield, a professor at St. Bonaventure, wants to offer thoughts on nature. Mike, you there? All right.
Well, I will say for Mike, maybe he was asking about the fact we talked about the visitor center at the top of the gorge and even referenced the fact there will be a structure in the gorge. One of the things that's intended is to create not just a visitor center in the gorge, but an urban ecology center to celebrate not only the history, which we've talked about, of how Rochester was settled, but also the natural components that are pretty unique to the Genesee River.
And we have Beth from Rochester who wants to talk a bit about history at High Falls. Beth, are you there?
Yes, thank you for yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call. Rochester has a real rich history for the working class, from Flower City, Flower, and flowers as in blooming, and also the garment industry. And I hope that there's a component that celebrates labor.
Yeah, I think it's another great suggestion, and I'm certain it will. So, I mean, High Falls is still a working industrial site. It still generates electricity for our city. We certainly intend to celebrate the history of the old flour mills. The Trip Hammer site that is there is part of the plans to be restored and preserved and accessed for the public. We really want to try to make this be much more than a nature center, not to take those words, and use them literally. Mm-hmm. It will be an opportunity for people to interact with the natural beauty of the gorge, but we really want this to be a unique urban environment that allows people to celebrate the history of our city, both pre and post what it is today, or post what it was when Rochester was created, and certainly that FLOUR city history will be a component of it.
And it is.
I think that there's no way to tell the story of High Falls and the role the river has played in the life of Rochester without dealing with labor, and specifically the neighborhood. The Trip Hammer site and so on. The neighborhood is really all about the growth of jobs and labor in the city of Rochester. So I think it's an inescapable truth that the visitor center, and in particular, but the High Falls in general, really has to tell the story of what happened in Rochester before there were any Europeans here, but certainly how labor and jobs took form and shape in the time after Indian Allen started that mill in 1789. Those stories will unfold, and they're already beginning to be visible and told by many who are interested in this place. Greentopia has been trying to tell those stories for some time, and I think that the story of labor in Rochester, you couldn't ask for a better place to begin to understand that story than the High Falls.
And I think it is of note, too, under the previous mayoral administration, there was a lot of talk about High Falls becoming sort of a software hub for new technology. That there actually is quite a few businesses here that are operating that I don't want to give the impression for people listening that this is a derelict, abandoned neighborhood. It's not. It is a neighborhood that does have a lot of people working here, but it is a workplace neighborhood for the most part, including
But it's part
myself.
Of the evolution of the district, right? People talk all the time about what didn't work in the 90s with the entertainment district. I will say there was a lot of positives came out of that. A lot of these buildings have been preserved, and they're now been historically adaptive reuse. So there's people living and working in all kinds of different manners in the High Falls District proper, and that's what we want to see. We want the private investment to decide what are the right uses for a lot of these old buildings. We're just trying to make the public spaces improved to make that more attractive because we know that's what workers want to see, that's what residents want to see, and even, dare I say, tourists will want to see if we do this High Falls State Park right.
We have a number of callers right now. We'll go to Tim from Rochester, who wants to offer some design insights. Tim, you there? All right. Well, to close out the hour, I won't, Vinny, you've mentioned this quite a few times, and I wanted to get more of a look of, you know, when we talk about this project in particular, and we're talking about these Rock the Riverway initiatives, it can seem a bit ethereal to a lot of people that this is just these ideas for development. But we ultimately need to take an overhead view of what is the future of what these projects are trying to build in Rochester. And I want to give you a chance to lay that out. What is the future that we're looking at here with these investments into public spaces and what Rich has referred to in the past as placemaking? What is the broader end goal?
The bottom line is that Rochester's waterfront has been underutilized and underappreciated for a very long time. It has been used primarily for industrial uses and not for modern living. The Rock the Riverway plan intends to change that. It intends to reconnect, reorient Rochester with its waterfront, with its river, and make that a place that attracts people and connects to neighborhoods directly along the riverfront and in throughout our city. That's what this is all about. We believe the state park, as Howard said very well, is a huge step in that direction. It will be a focal point, just like the aqueduct reimagined will be, taking off the Broad Street Bridge, returning it to a public space with a very central water feature to be a main gathering spot in the city. You know, these are huge changes that will, I think, give people more opportunity to interact, as Howard says, with the life of its city, with the life of its river, and to create a new Rochester that has the type of modern amenities people expect in a vibrant American city. So that's the bottom line here. And I think all of the things that are happening, while they seem ethereal, or maybe they feel like because the pandemic's been going on, people haven't been coming downtown as much, they don't know what's happened. But I mean it. You just go look at the Rock City Skate Park. It was below, it is below the Frederick Douglass Susan B. Anthony Bridge at 490, where everybody in town just drives through in an unused piece of land that is now one of the coolest spots in Rochester because it is something the community demanded and called for years that we didn't listen to, but through this community-informed process, elevated to the top of the list for the improvements that we could make, and we now have something that is so successful and utilized so much that we're expanding and is adding to the fabric of our community. That's what this whole thing is about, and that's why I'm excited to continue this work in partnership with the city, with groups like Greentopia, and all of those who've been contributing ideas and energy towards it.
Absolutely. And the energy we saw a couple weeks ago when we did our initial community engagement open house at the convention center for the Aqueduct Reimagined project. I mean, the energy in that room when I got up and kind of introduced our assistant city engineer, Kamal Cruz, who's the program manager for Rock the Riverway. When I got up and introduced him and the consultant team, it was palpable in that room, the excitement about what that can be. And Vinny made a really good point, and I think, you know, we look at, you know, other attempts at high falls. It's real easy to be, you know, an armchair quarterback, and hindsight is 20/20. I think every one of these was well intentioned. It wasn't as if any of this was done with, you know, anything but, you know, the knowledge they had at the time. As we go forward with this, though, we have to learn from that. And the key is that we're moving forward with those lessons learned and saying, okay, what do we do differently? And I think, you know, with the advent of social media and some other things, we just have a way of reaching people that we have to fully utilize for groups that have traditionally not been well represented in the community engagement and input process. And you're going to hear me keep coming back to this on all of our city projects. And of course, we'll be criticized to some degree. There's always more you can do. But at the same time, like I said, the hallmark of the Evans administration is that we're working with people, we're being collaborative, and we're taking a look at the bigger picture, which is what role does the city of Rochester play both in the county and the larger region and an even larger context than that? Because everything that was brought up, you know, with respect to the indigenous peoples, you know, the working class and labor, that's all part of what's unique to us. So as we start to do this, we want to draw out as much as we can. And so I've already made notes just sitting here and considering these part of the public comment that we need to incorporate, yep, as part of the High Falls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this seems to be a topic that a lot of people are just extremely invested in. Howard, you know, for you, Greentopia spent over a decade asking for this eco district and rallying for the kind of investments we're now going to see in High Falls. What do you think the future is going to look like there? And what are you hoping this leads to for the broader city of Rochester and the region?
Well, first, I think that, thanks, Gino. I think that we at Greentopia hope to see the kind of economic and urban revitalization that all three of us have been talking about for the last hour. That's central to the effort of Rock the Riverway, and it's central to the effort of the new state park. And I think our view at Greentopia is that this is exactly what should happen and what we hope will happen as the river comes to a new life. But I think also that we feel at Greentopia that the river, more than almost anything else in Rochester, the river is something that we all own. It's all of ours. And as a new awareness forms around the river, we hope that the river ties everyone in the city together and allows everyone to come down to the river, to participate in Rock the Riverway from end to end. And whether you're talking about something downtown or on the edges or the walkways or the new bikeways or parks or trails, we want to see that everyone in the city feels that the river is central to the life of the city and that we all together can own it, take care of it, and help it to play a new role in the life of the city.
Gino, I meant it when I want to say amen after he speaks every time. I really want to elaborate on this further. I think part of the reason you're seeing so many people have interest in this is they see themselves as having an ownership stake in something. When you say state park, it automatically means it's for everyone. And that's intentional. And that's part of the reason this is so exciting is, you know, there's no guarantee that this gorge is going to be preserved and accessible to the public, right? There are a lot of ideas, including some early Greentopia ideas, to redevelop the gorge after RG&E is done using it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think there's a lot of excitement about the fact that this place, that gorge within the Genesee River, where Rochester was created before and after its current state, is now going to be available to everyone and preserved and protected for public use. And that is a noteworthy thing. And that's part of why I think what we're doing is different, why it will continue to be a positive step in the revitalization efforts that we're all working on.
Yeah, I think it's of note there's a lot of history in this neighborhood. The Waterworks Building is called the Waterworks Building because it used to fuel all of the fire hydrants in the downtown area of the city. So
it was the Waterworks.
It was the Waterworks, yes. And some of the earliest power plants in the city of Rochester were also based on the High Falls in that area.
Yeah, and that building is really just, again, talking about preservation. I mean, it was designed by A.J. Warner. It's a two-story, three-bay brick facade with a Gothic arched front entrance, Gainesville sandstone trim, and it has this very distinctive bracketed cast iron cornice. So there's a lot about that building that speaks to our history, and that's why it will make for a very good visitor center. But everything that Vinny and Howard have been talking about is a central tenet of of Mayor Evans building for a prosperous future. So this is really, I mean, this is where we can start to use that those public assets, as Vinny called them, and I think that's a good way to do them. It's exactly what they are, and how we're going to use that to drive private investment and do so in an equitable way. And, you know, we're just talking about this. We've, you know, in my case, I've been in for, you know, 4 months and 20 days now, and I am just blown away by the amount of opportunity that is out there for us to improve the entire city. And while we talk about this one, I hope that we'll be looking at what we do in other ones at more of a neighborhood level. This is a neighborhood, or will be. But as we start to look at that, it's got to work for everybody. It's got to make sure that we're getting the same outcomes for everybody. So when we start talking about this, to Howard's point, we want everybody to feel that ownership of this site.
Yeah, and I feel like from the number of callers that we weren't even able to get to, you're not going to have any shortage of public input on this project. So as we close out the hour, I wanted to thank all of you for being here. Vinny Esposito, Finger Lakes Regional Director for Empire State Development. Rich Perrin is the Commissioner of the Department of Environmental Services for the City of Rochester. Howard Decker, an architect, board member of Greentopia, environmental advocacy group that has long asked for this kind of project to happen in High Falls. Thank you all for being here and talking
Gino,
to me.
Gino, I'd just like to close by thanking Governor Hochul and the state legislative delegation. This doesn't happen without leadership and partnership with Mayor Evans and his administration. Thank you very much to everybody that's been making this work.
Thanks, Vinny, and to you as well.